Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all you freaks out there. This is Ryan, and Angie is right now busy putting RG to sleep, so she may be joining me later on tonight, hopefully. But I think the time changes completely messed up the schedule, so he's being kind of a pain in the butt to put to sleep tonight. So yeah, don't need to adjust your radios or, of course, don't listen to radio, your computers or whatever, because this is a special Sunday night edition of the freaking awesome show. A few weeks ago, we had a team come down to the cabin on 360 to spend a weekend investigating. And something happened to them while they were there, and I wanted to talk to them tonight and find out exactly what happened there, and see if we can make sense of it. So I think they're on the line now. I'm gonna go ahead and put them on the show here.
Let's go ahead and do that.
Hi,
gentlemen,
Ryan, how
what
are
is
you?
Going on?
I'm
doing
right,
great, man. How are you?
We're doing good. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you guys on. I think I talked to Charles a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
After it happened, is that right?
Yes, you did. Yeah, we talked a couple weeks ago. Yep.
All right. Well, first, I want to kind of establish the fact that, you know, you are a legit group, paranormal group. You've been doing this for a long time. So you coming down to the cabin wasn't your first rodeo. How long have you guys been together as a team?
6 years.
6 years.
Yes.
Wow. How long have you been into the paranormal?
I have been in the paranormal 5 years myself.
Okay.
And this is Charles you're talking to.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I've been a paranormal investigator for almost 20.
Okay. So, all right. Well, so, you know, in case people think that you had an overactive, you know, you haven't been accused of ever having an overactive imagination, have you?
No, absolutely not.
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, I want to ask these questions just so people have questions after the show. They'll know that, you know, this is a legit group. You guys have been doing it for years. You know, what if you tell me is the complete honest truth?
Absolutely. You're good. Absolutely.
Where else have you guys investigated?
I've been everywhere on almost everywhere on the eastern seaboard. I've been as far as Pennhurst. I've been as far as off the Victoria Mansion, even the Governor's Mansion. I mean, I can go all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to a lot of places that, you know, hold up their name for a haunted house.
So have I. I mean, I've been to the Hinsdale House, St. Albans, Governor's Mansion, and a few other stops. So yeah, I mean, we're a pretty tight knit group. We've been doing this a long time, and you know, I mean, we'll get into it in a little bit, but our experience at the cabin, unbelievable. Definitely lived up to its name.
Let's go to the beginning. Start. How did you hear about the cabin?
I actually was just looking up stops, places to investigate, and I saw the Cabin 360 on Facebook. And I reached out to Dennis, which is the caretaker, I believe. And I asked him if what would be the chances on, you know, us coming out there. And he said that, you know, obviously there was a deposit, half up front, half when we, 2 weeks before we were supposed to show. That would include the whole weekend. Right then and there, I paid half deposit. Told Eric about it. We were definitely on board just because of the history of the cabin. And then what, you know, the rest is history. I mean, I paid it, the rest of the deposit 2 weeks. We let the team and everybody know we were coming out. We packed our bags from New Hampshire and went to the Cabin 360. So what we thought was going to be a weekend of, awesome investigation, but unfortunately, things took a turn.
So how long did it take you to drive down from
9 hours
to the cabin?
Nine
hours. So 9 hour drive. So
yeah.
Wanting to leave, and have you ever left? Have you ever actually left an investigation early?
No, sir. No, sir. Absolutely not. We have never, and I'm saying this sincerely, we have never left an investigation.
No, never.
Never.
I've always been out there. We've always finished them.
Yes.
For some strange reason, things weren't going our way as an investigating team that night at the Cabin 360.
No.
It just, everybody was just, you know, it just, no matter what we did, things weren't going right. It just, we felt like something was controlling us.
Well, let's get to that. So when you got down there, how did you guys feel when you got down to the cabin? When you first got there.
First and foremost, we were very excited to be there. Me and Eric had been talking about it a week prior. We were excited to be able to go down and investigate the Cabin 360. We get onto the property, and myself, I was so overwhelmed, you know, that I was actually here, and I was like, wow, you know, I'm going to be able to go in here for the weekend. We're going to investigate and try to, you know, back up some of the claims that people had said about the Cabin 360. And I'm going to be blunt if I can, and I'm going to be as honest as I can with you on something. I kind of thought we were in trouble right off the rip when we were in the brick house and Dennis knocked on the basement door and said, asshole, I'm here. I don't know if I can swear on the radio, and I'm sorry for that, but that's being honest with
you, Ryan.
The minute he said that, I had to take a step back and think, what have me and Eric got ourselves into? I've never heard anybody just be blunt the way Dennis was when we were going down to the basement. And I kind of took a step back and said, did we bite off more than we can chew? Because why is he calling this thing a butthole? And, you know, what's going on?
Well, as you can attest, the entity downstairs in the basement does like to mess with people. And Dennis likes to assert his authority. And he, you know, just let him know that he cannot mess with him. And honestly, the whatever is down there is scared of Dennis. Because he knows Dennis can handle him. So I think that's why he uses that language. Just let them know, let whatever's down there know who's boss. So you guys were given the tour of the location. Do you feel any weirdness in the houses or anything before the investigation?
Well, let me tell you what happened. We interviewed Dennis on camera. And then Dennis said, do you guys want to go out to the woods? And I said, nah, I'm going to stay behind. I want to sit by the truck.
Are you on a TV show here? You said you're on camera. Are you filming for a TV
interviewed him about the history. I'm sorry, Ryan. We interviewed him about the history of the property. And everything that was going on. And then at the end of the interview, he had mentioned about going out to the woods to see, you know, to tell the story of, you know, the history of that. And Eric and the whole team went with Dennis, and I stayed behind. Now, I was at the truck facing the front of the cabin, and I got to pause for a minute because talking about this is still, you know, wrecks me to the core, to be completely honest with you, because I still can't explain.
Take your time.
I still can't explain what I saw. I'm in by the truck, and now it's just me, and I saw something staring at me in the brick farmer's house, the window facing the cabin on the left side of the brick rancher. I saw what appeared to be like a face, but with like I don't even know how to explain it. I started snapping pictures immediately. I mean, I grabbed my phone and I started snapping pictures, and what I caught on my phone was unbelievable. To the point where when Dennis came back, I said, "You're not going to believe this." I said, "I'm sitting at the truck and I'm watching activity in the house." So I took a picture, and this is what I got. And I showed him all three of the pics that I got, and he said it was, you know, very fascinating, interesting. Now, I would have liked to have been able to upload those pictures, but unfortunately, when we got back to New Hampshire, they were all off my phone. So that's how my night started. And so now we go into the cabin, we unload all our equipment, and we, you know, we're setting everything up. And Eric put our camera up on the second floor in the cabin. You know, we're setting everything up. We put the REM pod up there. We put some devices up there. And me and Eric were just talking, asking questions in the house. I mean, we hadn't even started investigating yet. And the REM pod was going off. Certain stuff in the house was going off. Communicating. So I said, well, you know, if this is you wanting to talk to us, you know, make the REM pod go off again. And it did. So I went upstairs. Now, what I'm about to tell you next, I still can't explain. I go upstairs, and there was a ball on the floor, and the REM pod was up there. I had a K2 up there. We had a ghost meter. We had a MEL meter, and we had our camera up there. I appeared. I was standing in the living room, the second floor, right next to where the hallway was. And down the hallway, what appeared to be, now I know this is going to sound kind of strange, and I'm going to say this, but it's the God's honest truth. I'm sitting there, and I first saw a shadow dart, and I was like, "What is that?" And I was going to mention to Eric, "Hey, you need to come up here," but I froze. And then what I saw next, I can't explain it, Ryan. I don't even try to make sense of it. It looked like to be about 7.5-8 feet tall. It had I wouldn't say the reddest eyes, but it was like it didn't look anything like, you know, it didn't look like anything I've ever seen before. It looked, to be truthful with you, to be blunt, it looked like it was half human and half like half goat. And I didn't even want to be up there no more. I ran down the stairs, and Eric's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Dude, I don't even want to go up there, dude. So I just saw something, and I don't even know what I saw. I want to go. I want to leave the house." And exactly how I'm talking to you, Ryan, is exactly how I was talking to Eric. And he's like, "Dude, relax, chill. What are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Dude, I didn't want to tell." And I've known Eric 25 years. This is like my brother, my best friend. We don't hide anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell Eric what I saw until I got back to New Hampshire.
What time of day did you see the entity?
It was just after 8 o'clock. Okay.
It was dark. It was.
Yes.
Okay.
I was like stuttering with Eric, and Eric's like, "Dude, calm down. What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Dude, I don't even want to go back up there. I don't even want to go back up there." And he goes, "What do you like? Dude, that ain't you. Relax." No. And I left. I walked out of the cabin. And how I'm talking to you, Ryan, is how I was talking. I knew something was up right off the rip.
So
now, I didn't tell Eric what I saw, okay? Now our night gets a little bit more interesting, Ryan. Okay? Because now I'm going to tell you what happened to me when we were outside. So me and Eric had our investigation for about 15 minutes up on the second floor in the cabin 360. We heard like a scratching on the wall. There was a couple K2 hits. We had a spirit box telling us to leave, to get out.
We were getting some weird things happening. You could hear walking. You could hear, like, when you're upstairs on the second floor, when you come out to where that balcony looks over downstairs, like if it would be like a dining room or a living room, if it was set up to be a house right below the fireplace, you could be standing there and it's pitch black and you could hear like somebody's running from the room down the hallway past the stairs, like they were charging at you. And that happened a few times while I was up there, because when Chuck was just like, he just wanted to come downstairs. And I went upstairs to try to verify what his claims were. I mean, I could hear some, like, there was tapping on the window all the time. Like, you would walk in where that mezzanine is to look off, and as you take a right into that room on the second floor in the front, there's two windows to the right as you walk in. Well, the window all the way down on the right-hand side, our cameraman was standing there filming, and you could hear tapping on the window. Now, I put my flashlight towards him, and the tapping was still happening, and he wasn't even near the window or anything. It was just, like, weird grunting sounds, like someone walking up and down the stairs. And as all this is going on, the rest of the team is, you know, being patient and waiting, but at the same time, they're all getting disgruntled. They're all arguing, and we don't argue. No. And half of them didn't even want to come in the house at certain points, and then they wanted to come into the house. It just got to the point where everything was just how we are such a unique and formed team together, and how we do all our tasks good. There's only six of us. So, and then you got the two people that film for us. So there's a total of eight. They're the film crew, but it was just, everything was like unorganized. We'd look at each other, we'd snap at each other, and we don't do stuff like that. And it just got to the point where during investigating, it was like no one wanted to be in the house.
And we had lights out, Ryan, okay? Here's another thing that was odd. We were all outside. Okay, and we were on the right side, the left side of the house where the field is to go all the way into the back of the where the forest is back there. All right, so I'm looking at I'm looking at the right side of the house. Okay, now all the lights are off because we went lights out, Ryan. Up on that second floor, lights were coming on. Okay, and
the cabin,
I'm like,
or the
brick
house?
Yeah, no, in the cabin. Yeah.
Okay.
The lights, the light was coming on.
We were all outside.
We were all outside, Ryan. Yeah. The light was coming on, and I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, hello, who's in the house? So, one of our camera guy grabbed a flashlight. We opened up the door. Nobody's in there.
Yeah.
So I go back around, and it looked like something up there was walking around. You know, and I'm like, okay, this isn't right. Something's not going on. And the way I'm talking to you right now is the way I was talking to Eric.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, there's something up there. And it's probably the same damn thing I just seen before. I'm not going back in that house. I'm sorry. I'm done. You stick a fork in me, I'm completely done. Now, I've been to places, and I've investigated, and I've never been afraid, but I'm going to tell you right now, that place, I'm telling you, I only needed 45 minutes to know that something was not right about that house. And, you know, and then something happened to my brother, Eric. All right, I'll let him explain to it. But I'm not, like I said, we were there, you know, when my brother looks at me and says, I want to punch you right in the face. I don't like you right now. I want to punch you right in the face. I'm like, dude, it's our time to go. I told our crew, pack your stuff up and let's go. We're out of here. We're not staying another minute, another second, another half second. We're gone. We're leaving. And everybody's like, you know, his wife was like, no, let's figure this out. Let's go get a pizza. No. I don't need a second. We're gone. We're out of here. Pack our stuff. Let's go. I called Dennis, and Dennis was like, do you want me to come? And do you want me to do a bless or something in the house? Because I told Dennis what I saw. Dennis, and I said, no, we're out of here. I don't want a refund. You keep it. Bless this house is awesome. I realize we rented it for the weekend, but I don't need the whole weekend. I know what my two eyes saw. I stand by that. And, you know, and then we're packing our equipment, and I'm like, where's my brother? And I was told he was behind the truck. Well, I go behind the truck, and my brother isn't there. My brother disappeared for like 15, 20 minutes, and he doesn't even know where he went. I'll let him explain that story because it gets a little, what happened to him ain't right. And like I said, I didn't tell my brother exactly what I saw until I got home. I said, dude, I don't know how to explain this to you because you're going to probably think I'm crazy. But I've never lied to you in 25 years, and I'm a straight edge. And he says, you are. He says, dude, you got to calm down. You're like stuttering. I said, because I don't know how to explain this to you. And I'm crying. And I broke down and told him what I saw.
What do you think, Wayne? You know, you saw the goat, but what do you think? What do you think it was that you saw?
I don't know, Ryan. I don't know. How do you explain to your best friend or to the caretaker what you saw, and then to be told that it's been seen before? How do you explain, Ryan? I'm straight up telling you, I have no clue. I didn't want to stay to even find out what it was. I saw it once, and that was enough for me. You know what I mean? I saw it once, and that was enough for me to say, I'm scared shitless. Get me the hell out of here. I got my whole team fighting, okay? And now here's the strange part, okay? One of my techs goes down in the basement, and because we told him, put all the chairs and stuff back down in the basement. Because I was going to sleep down in the basement when we first arrived. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sleep in the basement. Eric's like, that's on you. But I'll tell you right now, you won't catch me in that basement alone.
I go there all the time. I'm over there all the time. I would not go in that basement by myself at night. I used to be able to go. I used to go down there. But I was never going down there for very long.
Yeah, sorry. What Chuck is saying is the team was just unoriented, and we're never like that. Mm-hmm. We're always right. We're always right where we need to be. We're always on point. We're always there to get the answers that we want to get. Like, as paranormal investigators, my philosophy is, as a paranormal investigator, your job is to go out there and debunk the claims, right? If you can debunk the claims and prove that this isn't existing, then you're there doing your job, right? But at the same time, you want to try and find these claims. And if you can prove these claims are real, then you're also doing your job as a paranormal investigator. In the years I've been doing this stuff, I've been to a lot of places, and I've heard lots of things, noises, bangs. I've actually caught things on film. And I still, even airing it, it still got torn apart. But I still had kept my head up high, saying to myself, I really caught this. This is really paranormal phenomenon going on where I got it. Now, when we were at the Cabin 360, Chuck didn't want to go into certain places alone. Chuck's normally the eager one, you know, and I'm normally the eager one. We're normally saying, no, go for it. Go after it. Go get it. This is what we're here for. This is what we do. No matter how much we try to tell ourselves that we're here to find paranormal activity, we did not want to do anything. Now, during the night, as we're getting ready to do what we do, it's just Chuck's going crazy because he can't believe what he saw. He's hearing things, talking about how things are coming down the hallway, as he explained it to you. We send the girls up in there, to investigate on, and when it was time for them to investigate, and they were only in there a good 30 minutes. And I didn't even tell them what I heard or what Chuck heard when we were in there. When they came outside,
mm-hmm.
the expressions on these women's faces were like I've never seen before. They were like thoughtless looks, like they didn't know what or how to react to what they heard, seen, or were even trying to, you know, put all together. And they both looked at me. There's someone in the hallway. We couldn't, they would just peek in and out, or we hear like charging coming down the hall, and there was constant tapping on the glass, or you could hear like someone walking up and down a stairwell. And they mm-hmm. just, they came out, and we didn't tell them anything. Now, we're all outside facing the cornfield where we're not allowed to go, and we're all out there like we always do. We kind of like do like a round table type thing, a discussion, just to get ourselves together, you know, to clear our thoughts,
yeah.
try to put things together on what we need to focus on, and put the main point as being a paranormal investigator or where it is you're going to be that night while you're doing your hunt. And none of us could get together. And all of a sudden, as Chuck was saying, we're all just standing there, and a light comes on upstairs. Now, no one's in the house. All eight of us are accounted for, and then it goes back out. And then Chuck is taking pictures. So it got to the point where we're all arguing with each other. And like Chuck said, I just out of nowhere turned around and just looked at him and grinned at him and said, I just want to punch you in the face. And he just, what? And then I looked at him, I go, I don't even know why I just said that, you know. So it was just the way things were.
Yeah.
So
that's happened before out there to one of our investigators. He said that actually it happened to Dennis one time. He said we were at the we're in the brick house. We had a New Year's Eve party out there. And just a bunch of friends out there. We did some investigating at the brick house, and then we got back to the cabin for like the countdown, and we were sitting there dancing, having a good time. And he said he felt like, 'cause he had a revolver on him. He said he felt like shooting each one of us in the head. And he as soon as he started feeling that way, he left the cabin, walked over to the brick house and went downstairs and said, don't you ever get my head again. And that's part of the reason why he calls the entity in the basement an asshole, because he fucked with him one time and he was like, no, that's not going to happen again. And I actually came over because I noticed he was gone. I actually went over to the brick house and I got the tail end of the tongue lashing he was giving the spirit downstairs. Because it'll get in people's heads. He had another investigator, one of our investigators was there with his wife and kid, and it got in his head, and he said he wanted to punch his own family in the face. And he left the house, went to the like the gravel road by to look for Dennis, and pretty much fell to his knees crying in the rain.
Oh, no.
Because of what – yeah.
Well, it'll definitely
get into you.
To repeat your statement right there, so where we left off in the field, we end up going back into the house to start packing up our equipment. It got to the point, now this
mm-hmm.
is about, let's say, just about 20 minutes before 10. We're packing up our things, and as I'm coming out of the house, I'm carrying stuff. I go to the back of the truck, and after that, I end up on a dirt road. I don't remember how I got there. Chuck and everybody else says I was missing for 15 minutes. They couldn't find me. And while I was on that dirt road, it was kind of, I was looking down it, and it just looked like a lot of fog. For some reason, there was just, in one area, there was just like a patch of fog. And it was like three guys were standing there, and all of them had these hoods on, and one of them was carrying a torch. And when I flashed the light at them, they disappeared. And then 15 minutes later, Chuck finds me coming out in front of the pine tree in front of the cabin.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, because I guess they were yelling for me, and I looked at him and says, "Well, a guy can't take a piss in peace around here." And then I started getting in his face again. Then that's where I broke. And then I broke down. Yeah, literally broke down, had tears coming out of my eyes, and I leaped over the hood of my truck. And I just told Chuck, "I can't do this. I just want to go home."
I mean, Ryan, I asked one of the camera guys, "Where's Eric?" He's in back of the truck putting the stuff there. Now, I have never, and I've known this man 20-plus years, and I've never been afraid of him. Not even a shadow of an eye would I ever doubt that he would ever put any bodily harm on me or anything, because we are like blood brothers, all right? And I was scared to walk around that truck because I didn't know what or who was in back of there, if that makes any sense. So Eric's gone. Now, I have one number one rule. Don't, what's that word I'm looking for? Don't,
wander off alone.
When you're investigating, don't, piss it off intentionally. All right. So I'm calling it at the top of my lungs to my brother, Eric, where are you? Eric. And I said, "That's it. I've had it. I've had enough of this." I said to my camera guy, I said, "If he doesn't show up in 5 minutes, I'm going in that house, I'm walking the door, and I want to confront whatever this is, because our teams are messed, and everything." They're like, "Oh, you're not going to do anything. You're not going inside." And I mean, I'm yelling at my camera crew, and I'm yelling back at Eric, and then all of a sudden,
it's just what he wants you to
do. My camera guy taps me on the shoulder. Now, my shirts, I can take a picture of it and show you, are like, they glow in the dark in the IR camera, and so does my hoodies, okay, that I had made.
Yeah.
So I was looking in the tree, and my camera guy goes, "There's somebody back there, and it looks like he's got a cloak on." I'm not going back there to look. So I take a few steps forward to the tree, and then I start taking a step back because I didn't see the logo on the sweat on the hoodie. And then it's Eric, and he goes, "What? A guy can't take a pee in public?" I said, "Dude, I've been calling you for 10 minutes. Where are you?" He goes, "I don't want to hear it from you. I'll punch you right in the face." I'm like, "Excuse me?" And then 5 minutes later, he's walking in the truck, and he's crying. And that was it. That was that dude, Ryan, that was it. I lost it. I said, "We are gone. Pack your stuff." His wife's like, no. "Let's go get a pizza. Let's." And I said, "No."
Camera I want to know. I want to know what happened with Eric. Eric went to use the bathroom, and he. How did you wind up on the road? Do you know? Were you on the access road?
No. When we were first out there, that dirt road to the left of the house that leads to the back of the woods that splits the cornfield.
Yeah,
and the
access road to the cell towers.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I walked out of the house. And then I ended up on the dirt. I didn't even know I was on the dirt road. And then after the dirt road, like I explained to you, I don't know how I got to the pine tree. It's like 15 minutes of me just disappeared in my own mind. Like
lost time.
I wasn't coherent for like 15 minutes. Like I didn't even know where I was. I didn't even know I left the house. I didn't even know I was behind the tree until I heard yelling. When they were yelling my name,
I
didn't even know what.
So you left the truck, end up on the road. Not sure how you got there, and then you ended up by the pine trees. Not sure how you got there. It's like you lost time for 15 minutes.
Yeah, and like I said, when I had talked to you, when I was explaining to you how I was on the road, I see this mist.
Mm-hmm. And you saw men in cloaks.
Three men in cloaks, one was holding a torch, and when I went to flash the light at him, I was walking from behind the pine tree, and that's where Chuck and them were all yelling at me.
Yeah.
It's like, I only seen these things and this has never happened to me before, and this is the truth. You know, like I told Chuck, I'm going to explain this to Ryan tonight, you know, and as a paranormal investigator, if he believes it, that's good. If he doesn't want to believe it, that's fine. It's not going to bother me one bit.
No.
It's not going to change my story. No. I'm sticking to it. You know, it's like dirty laundry. Either you clean it or you leave it.
Yeah.
Well,
but
that's why I wanted to establish at the beginning of the show that you're not a team or persons with that have overactive imaginations, or you're not a brand new team who's never done this before, who gets scared of their own shadow.
No, we are dead serious in what we do. This has never happened to me before. I mean, I've seen spirits in a window. You know, it's caught me off guard. I've been in houses that are told they're notoriously to be haunted, and I spent the night in these places, and I walked out the next morning hearing things and hearing the claims, but it wasn't enough to shake me out of my boots like Cabin 360. Now, I told Chuck, I'm going back to this place.
And yes, we are.
I want to go back to this place. And I'm not going to say I'm going to spend the night there again or try to, you know, outstay where I did last night. I want to try and go back and do this again, if it's possible where we can do this again.
If you even will allow us out there.
We'll allow you. No doubt. If it's still available, we will definitely allow you to come out.
Oh, yeah. We're always available when it's time to go for a hunt. If we're on it, if someone wants us to come back out there and wants us, you know, I want to try and get more evidence. I want to try and get more proof this time, but I want to try and keep my thoughts of being at this place to where they need to be to focus. You know, I've been to a lot of places, Ryan, and I'm not that kind of guy that's scared. And Chuck will tell mm-hmm. you, nothing scares me.
No.
And it's not that I wasn't scared to be at this place. It just, whatever it was, whatever's in this house, it's like, all right, I'm the one that lives here. I'm the controller. You're coming out here to visit me. I'm going to give you the night of your life. It was kind of like walking into a, you know, it was kind of like a horror movie. You know, this team comes out to this house that's notoriously, you know, it's supposed to hold up to its claims, and we go in there as a team, and we get taken out. We get told to leave. We get rushed out of this house. I mean, it's an atmosphere I've never felt before. And you know, to be honest, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, it felt like I was in a horror movie running for my life, you know, not knowing what was going to happen next or what to expect from my team to just to be there was like anything I've never felt or seen or you know, it's hard to explain because when you're not a paranormal investigator and people watch this stuff and they look at this stuff, even for those listeners that are listening to your show tonight, for those that are skeptics or for those that are believers and for those who are trying to believe, and when you sit here and try and tell him or them or her what happened, they're even leaning back in their chair right now. Are these guys for real?
Right.
Did they actually see what they're saying they saw? And I tell people, if you want to experience this stuff as a paranormal investigator, you have to go out there and have the courage to do it for yourself. So that way you can sit back and say, you know what, those guys I heard on the radio, I had to do this myself. And you know what, I didn't see much, but I heard some weird things. Or, you know, that's the whole part of taking the paranormal seriously.
And the thing that, you know, when I made the phone call to Dennis, I messaged him on Facebook and I said, I need to call you. We're leaving. And he called me right away. I mean, right away, like within not even a minute, 30 seconds. He's like, what's going on? I said, well, I don't even know how to explain to you this. But I'm just going to come right out and tell you the truth. He goes, okay. I said, dude, I saw something I can't explain. I don't know if anybody else has ever seen it here. But I'm going to tell you exactly what I saw and what happened to us. And Dennis is like, well, you're not the – Dennis told me that I'm not the – there's other people that have seen what I've seen. And he's like, do you want us to stay? do you want me to come over here and help do a blessing or try to calm the house down? And I said, Dennis? He's like, you did pay for the whole weekend. I said, Dennis, I don't even care about the deposit. Keep it. Wonderful place. I understand what the – we paid for the weekend. You're right. The money has nothing to do with it. I know what I saw. It was my thing to say, I'm out of here. And I've never backed out or walked out of any investigation. Never. Not as quick as I did. But when I got home, I got brave and I said, I was talking to Dennis Sunday night when we got back. And I said, I really want to go back out there. I want to, at some point in 2020, I want to go back out there. And, do you think, the owner would allow us? Because at the time, I hadn't talked to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I was like, I definitely want to go back. And Eric's right. I know what I saw. I stand by it. People are probably sitting back in their chair thinking, did he really see this or what? I knew enough in 45 minutes of my eyes to know that I didn't want to be in there no more, at least for that night.
For those people who are doubting, and I'm sure cause their claims are a little, they're outlandish. They are out there. But I mean, I believe you, because you're anybody who drives 9 hours for an investigation pays $400 to investigate is not going to leave over something that's minor.
No.
You've been to a lot of locations. You probably had a lot of experiences.
Right.
And you stayed there the whole night. When it wasn't just what you saw, it's how everybody was acting. It's what it does. The cabin. You need people who listen to this who want to come out to the cabin. Sometimes you'll go there and not much will happen. You'll get a few EVPs and that's it. But there are times when you come out there and it'll fuck with you really hard, and you've got to prepare yourself for that. Whatever religion you belong to, whatever you use to protect yourself, you start using it, start saying your prayers to get your stones together, because it'll fuck with you. You got to be strong. So, I mean, I understand because this happened before. I can vouch for you guys.
Yeah. Well, like I said, Ryan, and I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart. I was truly – two things happened to me that night. I was truly blessed to be able to investigate a wonderful home or a wonderful – the wonderful Cabin 360 that had a lot of claims. I was very fortunate and blessed to be able to. But in the same sense, what happened to me that night has never happened to me before in the 6 years that I've been doing this. And I'll be truthful with you. It has shook me to the core. Like I said, I didn't talk to my brother all the way home. We didn't talk.
No, we didn't talk the whole way.
And we're sitting at the table when we got to his house. And I said, we've been friends how long? He goes, long time. You trust everything I say to you, right? 100%? He goes, yeah. And you trust me, right? I said, yes. I said, sit down because you need to hear this. You remember when I was acting crazy and you told me to shut up? He says, yeah. This is what I saw. Now, when I told Dennis Sunday, I called Dennis on the phone. He sent a picture of me to the phone, to my phone, of what people had seen. Of this creature-like thing. Dennis sent me a picture, a text on his phone, and said, is this kind of what you saw? And I said, well, I didn't see the tongue, because he sent me a picture of this thing that, I can't even explain. I didn't see no tongue in this thing, but damn, what he sent me is almost head-on as to what I saw. My tech guy, went down to the basement to move some chairs because we were going to all investigate downstairs. So we brought some chairs up to the up to the brick house into the living room. And so I told him, go downstairs. When he came out of the brick house from the basement, he was like flabbergasted. I'm like, what happened, dude? What happened? He goes, something down there told me that I was there, that they want me to stay there, that this is where I need to be. And I ran out of there. Now, Dennis said, do you mind if everybody does like a prayer? Because he was on the phone with us. He said, do you mind if you put me on speaker and I do a prayer with everybody? And I said, absolutely, please, something to guide us, to protect something. And my guy, the minute the prayer got done, the guy that was in the basement threw up immediately, like threw up. And then on the way home, he was throwing up in our truck. We had to stop.
Stopped like three times on the highway.
As soon as we left the house, we had to stop because he was throwing up out of our truck. So whatever, and I asked him, I said, and it's funny because he says to Dennis, I don't believe in this stuff.
Yeah, he does. He said that I'm here to film and help produce this show that these guys put together. I'm skeptic. I don't believe in this stuff. And
yeah, ask him now.
Ask him now, and it changed his whole way of outlook on the paranormal. Now he believes it really is what it is. After seeing it firsthand when he went out with us, he's like, now I believe. I can now say I believe.
I mean, I get you on the phone. I'm sitting in my car. And I called you. And I explained to you everything that I saw and heard and done in my car. And I'm thinking, this guy's either going to think, and I'm got to be blunt here because that's how I am. This guy's either going to think I'm a whack job, or he's going to be able to say, yes, this has happened. And I just wanted to be blunt, honest, tell you what happened, you know. And then you're like, can you want to come on the show with us? And I'm like, oh, absolutely, you know, because me and Eric, again, we have nothing to hide. I mean, we have our own talk show. We're blunt. We're honest. We tell it like it is. We don't care what you think of us. You know what I mean? I can't explain what I saw. I can't, and I won't even try to explain. I won't. I can tell you what I saw is 100% truth. What happened to my brother, I saw firsthand. I saw lights opening up on that house on the second floor. I took pictures of several, looks like several entities in the brick house. Joe Dennis, so if you could probably ask Dennis, and he will validate that. I get home, I call Dennis, and I said, I got a problem. He goes, what? The pictures I showed you? He goes, yeah. They're not in my phone no more. He goes, oh, that's happened to people too before. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, don't worry about it. So the pictures I had showed several entities, showed like spirits, several spirits in the window. They're no longer on my phone. I can't explain it.
Didn't you tell me that you may have snapped a picture of maybe Melissa behind the brick or in the woods behind the brick house?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yes. Okay. Well, I didn't take the picture. Okay. One of the females on our team took the picture. Okay. So let me explain to you how that happened. Okay. So I was talking to her and I said, you're not going to believe this. You guys are in the cornfield or in the back field, wherever, where Dennis had you guys. And I seen this thing walking or staring at me in the brick house. So I started shooting pictures, and this is what I saw, and I showed her. She goes, really? She goes, well, I took a picture. And I said, okay, what? Now, she has an iPhone 11, so I don't know how I could get it transferred over to show you, but she has an iPhone 11 because that's the phone that, you know, I had bought her prior to us coming up there. Because I have the Samsung Note 10, she has the iPhone 11. So she's like, look at the picture I took. Now, Dennis told us about how, where, about the girl that got, you know, raped and murdered, where her body was thrown. Right in the exact spot This picture shows, I'll have to show you. I'll see if I can send it to Messenger when I get home so you can see it for yourself. It's in the back of the house where the woods are. You will see what appears to be a not even 4.5, not maybe 5 feet tall. I mean, I don't know how close she was. I'd have to ask her. But you see, like, where the woods are, you see the picture of a person, or what it appears to be, a person standing right where she was drawn. I'll have to show you to actually, so you could see it for yourself. But she showed me, and I took a step back. And like I said, nothing at that point had surprised me. Like I said, the minute we walked in, Ryan, and he said, "Asshole, I'm here." I took a step back and said, "What did we get ourselves into? Are we really walking into something that is demonic, or not even, you know, or something that is, you know, what are we walking into?"
The first thing that Dennis said to me when we came to the cabin, took him to the cabin for the first time, we walked to the front door, was, "We're dealing with something in this house that isn't human and never was." And then we proceeded to go downstairs in the basement, and we heard what sounded like a little girl scream. That's when we knew, you know, this place definitely has potential, and that's when we knew we had to start investigating out there. We've never had anything happen to the extent of what you guys experienced out there. That's the reason why I want to have you on the show, because you're the first. Because when Dennis called me, I was at the beach when he called, and he was like, "I got a story to tell you." I'm like, "All right, what happened?" He's like, "We had another team leave." All right, the team that rented the cabin this weekend, they're already gone. And I'm like, "What the fuck?" He was like, then he proceeded to tell me, you know, what kind of gifts and stuff you had told him about what had happened. And I was like, "Man, I got to talk to these people." And I never once thought you guys were crazy. I never once thought you guys were like, it was more like, I can't believe they left. Because, you know, you drive 9 hours for an investigation and then leave. That's why, another reason why I took it seriously was because you don't just drive 9 hours and then decide to up and leave and drive all the way back. That's a lot of gas money,
to me,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And he says to me, "Well, you did pay." He goes, I can give you a discount next time." I said, No, I come next time, I pay full price." He says, "Well, that's very kind of you." I said, "Well, I didn't come out here to, you know, obviously this went to a good cause. And that's, you know, I came out here because of the claims of what had happened or everything that, you know, has happened. And I wanted to be able to validate, you know what I mean?" And like I said, I can't explain what I saw. I can tell you word for word, my story has not changed since I've talked to you, since I've talked to Dennis.
I can vouch for that.
My story has not changed, and I stand my ground. I would put I have my own company. I have an all-female team. We have a production company, and we have
New Hampshire Paranormal Afterlife. We have New Hampshire Paranormal Research. And then me and Chuck founded Paranormal Conspiracy, which is which is the team that films for the TV show that we're doing. And then we have Nightmare Production, which is our film production company that I started back in 2016. And I film, edit, and direct our own shows. We also have Paranormal Media. We actually have Andy Imports Media. I mean, we've got so much involved. I even have another show that I put aside for the last 2 years. It's called New Hampshire Ghost Stories. We would go around New Hampshire and tell stories about haunted locations. We would do documentaries and stuff like that.
So you're very experienced. A very experienced team. You have a lot of places. You've seen a lot of things.
Yeah,
nothing
we're always
like what
busy.
You saw at the cabin.
Yeah, we're always busy. And like Chuck said, we had no intentions of going out there and expecting what was going to happen to us. We didn't even think this would happen. You know, we were going out there on the level of, okay, we're going to set up, we're going to do a full 8-hour investigation, and we're going to get up the next day, revive ourselves, get all refreshed, bunker down for another exciting night of full-on investigating, mm-hmm. take those 16 hours of investigating time, put them all together, and try to put it all to mind and put something together to make it one hell of a show. All we got is
mm-hmm.
2.5 hours, maybe close to 3 hours of investigating time. Now, is that enough for a show of what we have? Not really. Can I make it into a show with the footage I have? Oh, I probably could because, you know, the normal TV time is about 44 minutes
uh-huh.
without the commercials or whatever it is that we do to air this or how we air it. So I can put a half hour, I can put 20 minutes, but there's stuff there that'll draw the people to want to know what happened to us, you know, and I will give them that experience. But as Chuck said, and I'm saying, we had no intentions of going out there and thinking that this was going to be an easy night. No, nothing's ever an easy night in the paranormal because you don't know what you're going to expect, because you don't know how it's going to come at you. Like I said, you know, when we first walked in there, I can't stress it enough. When Dennis walked us into the Brick Ranch yard and he knocks on that door, he goes, "Asshole, I'm coming down." I looked at Eric, and I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck did we get ourselves into?
And going down into there, in the basement itself, me being down. Now, when Dennis was telling some stories down there, he said, "So a king had went down there, and in the nighttime, and now we got girls that were down there with us, you know, and Dennis
mm-hmm.
just turns around and says, yeah, on the wall back here, there was a giant, they found a giant wolf spider. The girls just jump like 6 feet high, and they're looking around all into the basement for spiders now. And I'm not afraid of spiders, but when he said the size of this thing, it was like, you kidding me? A wolf spider that big in Virginia? I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
And he says, no, it was only claimed that one time, and we've never seen anything before that. But he says, just the weird things that would happen to people, seeing things, and it would freak people out, and they didn't want to come back down into that basement. You know, sitting there listening to this man tell the history, tell the story
yes.
of what happened to different teams coming out here from the paranormal, and then dragging me and three of the other girls out into the middle of the woods through these trails with glow sticks. Now, that
oh, yeah.
is something out of Wrong Turn, because you're walking down these woods and you don't even know what you're going to expect to see. It was mind-blowing.
Honestly,
awesome.
Those glow sticks look pretty badass at night. We use them to mark the trails, and especially in the fall, when you can actually see all the way down through the woods, and you can see the glow sticks like all the way through the woods. It's pretty cool looking. But I can see for those who come down who don't know what they're for, it can be pretty freaky.
It is. It was something psychedelic. You know, you're walking,
mm-hmm.
and when it's at night, just walking through the woods with those glow sticks, it's like looking through a kaleidoscope, because the glow sticks, you can see them. I mean, they're not as bright
yep.
now, but they're there. But just listening to the woods and listening to what's down there and listening, and you can hear, like, banging sounds, like, sounded like I sound like cannons, and I'm like saying to myself, "What the hell is this?" You know, and
never feel
you
like
just,
you're alone when you're in those woods.
No, it's like you have to be on your, you have to basically be spinning 360 degrees at all times to make sure that where you're walking,
mm-hmm.
you're hoping you're not going to walk into. I mean, I was out there and I walked right into a huge spider web. My complete face was covered in web.
That happens a lot, trust me. I get them every time I go into the woods.
Huh?
I say every time I go into the woods, I get either a trip up on a root or I get a face full of spider webs.
Yeah, and the spider webs are thick, too. They're not like where I'm from. I mean, whatever I walked into, it was huge because it just covered my complete face. There was no spider on it, thank God. But whatever made this was a huge spider.
You know, I was talking to Chris. Charles. Sorry. When I talked to him on the phone the other day, I don't know if you remember this. I was talking about, for some reason, before you guys even came down, I didn't even know you guys were coming down there. I had the state New Hampshire in my head. I was like, for some reason, I started thinking about the state New Hampshire, and actually listened to a show. I think it's on some podcast, and they were talking about New Hampshire, and I've got to look up pictures of New Hampshire for some reason. I couldn't understand why. And then I got Dennis called me and told me about you guys. I'm like, well, I don't know what the connection is, but like before you guys even came down, I was just thinking about the state of New Hampshire. And lo and behold, you guys come down and all this stuff happened. And actually, during the day before you guys came down, the property manager, had come out to show the property to a potential person who wanted to lease the property. And I don't know if the spirits knew something was up and didn't want the property to be leased or what, if that got it going or what. But I think either the time was right or something, because like I said, it was affecting me before you guys even came down, and like I didn't know you guys were coming.
Yeah.
Until after I heard about it.
Yeah, I mean,
it was just weird all the way around.
When I picked up the phone to call you, you know, the first person like I spoke to was Dennis, and I said, I don't even know how to explain to you this. I don't know how to explain to you what happened, what I saw, why we're leaving, this, and, you know, and then, you know, we had talked. And I told you the exact same thing, word for word, what happened.
I took a break after 8 hours because I drove almost the whole 8 hours to get there. And me and my wife just sat on the porch for a little while before it got dark.
Yeah.
And you and the rest and the two camera crew guys.
Yes.
You and the other two girls went over to the other house.
Yeah.
And just sat in the area upstairs, and you guys did some investigating at that.
Yeah, we before we started investigating, Eric wanted to, yeah, because he drove most of the way, and we were like, I mean, when we got into Virginia, we stopped at the Golden Corral before we actually went to the Cabin 360. After leaving the Golden Corral, we got to the Cabin 360, and after Dennis had left and everything, Eric's like, well, I'm going to sit in the house and just, you know, rest for a little bit before we set up. And I'm like, okay, whatever, you know, I mean, that's cool, brother. Don't worry about it. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to just play around here. You know what I mean? I want to just feel the house. I want to old school it, you know, because me and Eric school. We don't bring any equipment over. Mm-hmm. We'll just shut all the lights off and we'll just sit there and listen to the house. So I'm in the brick rancher, okay? I've got the two girls with me. I've got my two camera guys, and we're all sitting in the living room. And we could hear noise in the brick rancher, like somebody was walking around. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, my camera guy goes, you want to go down in the basement? I said, no, we're just going to sit in the living room. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to listen to the house. And we heard what appeared to be walking around, tapping on the window, walking around, sounded like doors was jingling to the basement, you name it. And I was like, well, you know, let's just stay here for a little bit. And then I messaged Derek, and I said, well, how long, you know, do you want to, you know, nap for? And he's like, well, I can't sleep, dude. Let's just start the investigation. So I took the whole team out of the brick rancher, and we went into talking to Eric, And that's when we started setting everything up, and that's when it all happened.
As we're setting things up.
As we're setting it up. So, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, how do I explain to you what I saw? How do I explain to Dennis what I saw? I didn't even want to explain it, to be honest with you. I was just going to keep it to myself and hope that I'd never ever seen that thing again. But I have nothing to hide. I stand by what I saw. I can't explain it, but I stand by it. And since I've talked to you, the couple times I talked to Dennis, my story hasn't changed. And Dennis did show me a pic, and I was told that what I saw in that house, other people have seen.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought was, I'm not crazy.
No, certainly not crazy. But I guess you have to be a little bit crazy to do all this, though. Sitting in a dark room talking to dead people. We're all a little crazy here.
I can't explain it, Brian. I'm sorry. I can't. I don't even know what it was. I didn't stop to ask. I didn't want to stop to try to investigate it. I've seen enough. I saw what my own two eyes could tell me is I didn't want to be there. And then when we were downstairs and we went outside, and the light came on the second floor, and we're all outside. And this, whatever, because Dennis had said something about there was an older gentleman seen up in that house. I can tell you it wasn't the gentleman. Mm-hmm. What I saw roaming up there was what I saw in that hallway. And I looked at Eric and I said, I am not going back up there. I am not going back in that house unless we're getting our equipment out. And we are going home. And I was told, no, let's just think about this for a minute. Let's just go get something to eat. No. When my brother of 30 years almost looks at me and says, I want to punch you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Done. Well. My whole team is fighting. Done. We're gone. There's got to be a time where you have to know what, when it's best to pack up and leave. And it did not make sense to me to stay any more, any longer. I had seen enough. And
I didn't know
how much. You made the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was, you know, most of the team was like the same way. Like, yeah, we should go. You know, I think it would be best. And that's when I basically said, no, it is best for us to go. We need to get out. Even after I left Ryan, we stopped at what was a Wawa down the street. And I still was continuing to yell at Chuck. I swore at my wife and called her stuff I've never, ever done in my life. I've never disrespected my wife the way I did. It was the way I talked to her, and she's just looking at me. And she looked at Chuck. She's like, that's not my husband. No, he does not talk to me like that. He's never have. As long as we've been married, he's never talked to me like
he
that.
He got out of the car, and he says, what are you looking at? What? Why are you looking at me, fatty? Want me to punch you out?
Because
I'm a big guy. I'm a little bit overweight. And he looks at me, and he goes, what are you looking at, fatty? I'll punch you out. I said, are you kidding me right now?
And I don't talk to people like that.
He goes, don't you talk to me like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll punch you out. And I had to walk away. I had to walk away.
And then I succeeded to jump all over my wife.
Yeah, and then he again. Yeah, right, what he said
how
to
long,
his wife.
How long did it take you for your how long did it take for you to become yourself again, Eric?
Obviously, when we left, my wife was the one driving, and I was sitting in the front seat. And while driving, mm-hmm. even when we went into Wawa, I wanted a soda. And I don't drink soda. I can't drink soda. And my wife's like, you don't drink soda. And I was just telling her, shut up. And I mean, I was like hardcore yelling at her. And she just walked away. And I never even bought the soda. I ended up buying tea because that's normally what I drink. And we get into the truck. We start leaving. And all this, you know, and I'm still being,
I'm still being a dick. And I'm not normally like this. You know, I'll only be a dick to somebody as if they're being a dick back to me. But my wife said just the expressions on my face, just the way, my body language said it all. She said it's like you just wanted to get out and just mess with the whole world. You wanted to fight everybody. And she said that's not you. She says you are that kind of guy when it comes time to push the shove. If somebody's going to, you know, come at me, I'm going to stand my ground. That's who I am. I'm not going to back down. But the way I was acting on this night, we were only 5 minutes up the road, literally, because Wawa is not that far from the Cabin 360. And
no, it's not.
As we're leaving this place, I'm still bad. And my wife says, look, you need to stop. Just shut your mouth. Don't say anymore. You don't want to say anything that's going to hurt anyone anymore. Chuck is just fuming at you right now because you said you want to knock his teeth down his throat. And when my wife said the thing she said to me, all of a sudden I shut up. And then I turned and looked at her. I want pizza. So after we stopped at Papa John's, and when I got out of the truck, I looked over at my wife, and my wife's just staring at me like ready for me to say something else.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over at Chuck. Yo, bro, you want some pizza? Now he's looking at me.
Yeah.
What the hell just happened? He just did a complete 360.
Yeah.
So we went inside and got pizza and got in the truck. And as we're driving off, it's still quiet. We're eating our pizza. It's still quiet. Everybody else falls asleep in the truck. And now it's just me and my wife up. And I turned around and looked at my wife, and my wife's looking at me, and I asked her, what's wrong, hon? And she just looked at me in disgust. She's like, you said some awful things to me. I go, what are you talking about? She's like, you just said some awful things to me, like almost an hour ago, and you never talked to me like that. And I'm like, I am truly sorry. And she goes, no, I understand. She says, that was not you. You were somebody different. You wanted to knock everybody out. You felt like you were Hulk Hogan on a power trip. And I'm 6'5", Ryan, you know, and I weigh almost 300 pounds. You know, I'm 247, 250 pounds. I'm close to 300 pounds. But I'm a stocky guy, you know. And Chuck's a big guy. He's about 5'7", 5'8", and you know, me turning around looking at Chuck, and Chuck and I grew up. We've known each other 30-plus years, and he knows who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows I'm this guy that's going to come at you if need be.
Yeah.
But I've never, in the lifetime I've known him, ever done or said anything like that to him. We've had our disagreements, but I didn't say I was going to punch him out or knock his teeth down his throat or call him fatty. I don't normally say stuff like that to him because he's never been a big guy.
No.
You know, he was small back in the day. But that's stuff I've never said. I don't talk to my wife like that. I've been married to her 17 years, and I love this girl. And the way I treated her that night, she was baffled because she knew it wasn't me. And to this day, she knows it wasn't me. But just to let people know that whatever is in this house will control you.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that could happen. You know, I'm not saying I was possessed. You know, I'm not saying that there's some type of demonic possession things going on here in this house. But there's something in that house that does not, you know, if it wants you, it's going to take you. And it's gonna control whatever it is. I mean, some of the stories that Dennis told us, you know, that this woman was in the house, and she went in the bathroom. And then before you know it, she stabbed herself, you know, or slit her arms or whatever it is and was just bleeding herself, you know.
Yeah.
That's intense, you know, where you think you're yourself 1 minute and the next minute you're lying there dying.
And she wasn't even there. She actually was home and left her house.
Yeah.
Left the house and she called her friends. Like, I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I feel like I feel the need to go to the cabin. So it's not just when you're there; it can get you even in your home.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain. You know, And like I told Chuck, Chuck's like, there's something bad there. And I'm like, well, you know, we don't know what it is. We don't know if it's a demonic present or not. We can't pinpoint what it could be. Is it demonic? Yeah, maybe it is. But can we prove that it's a demonic? We don't know. Whatever's in that house at the Cabin 360, it's going to let you know. If you aren't ready for this, believe me when I tell you this. As a paranormal team going into this place, it doesn't matter how prepared you are or what you think you're going to do. If it wants to control you or get you out of that house, it's going to do what it needs to do to get you out of there. And I'm not one to say stuff like this.
So what advice would you give a team that wants to investigate out there?
If you're going to go out to the Cabin 360, go out there and make sure, because I'm not going to say it's going to happen. It may not even happen to the next team that goes in there, or it may not even happen for a while. But as a paranormal team or an investigator, please just, you know, pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to your teammates. Pay attention to how they act differently and the surroundings of what's going on. Because if you don't pay attention to these things, someone can either get hurt or wander off and get hurt, or something bad could happen to where whatever this is can probably or maybe potentially take possession of you. Like I said again, right? I'm not saying it's a demonic. I'm not saying whatever's in that house is bad. Whatever's there is making its mark and telling people, look, don't come here and mess with me. Don't come here and try and think nothing's here. We're here. We're real. Whatever happened during that property or that time or the battles that happened there, whatever is on that property or whatever came to be to that property or possessed on that property, it's not something to take lightly. Don't tread water going here. Well, it's a very good location.
Yes.
Awesome place to be at. It holds its name. And I'm telling you right now, as Chuck says, we are going to come back to Cabin 360. I don't know how prepared we're going to be to step through those doors again. Whatever it takes, whatever it is we need to do, whether we can stay there the night or not, we are going to make our best of it, and we are going to go down there and show him, look, we are back.
Yeah.
And this time, we're going to try and fight you to stay on this property. But as a paranormal investigator or a team, if you're looking to want to go out to a place which I can consider is haunted,
yes,
I will put my mark on
absolutely
through haunted location.
Oh, absolutely.
I will honor that because I've never had the shit scared out of me as much as I did that night.
No.
It put me on my toes.
Yes.
And to this day, as a paranormal investigator, I am now looking at things a little different than I did 6 months ago, a year ago.
Yeah.
Because this has never happened to me before.
No, never.
I've always gone in and come home and said, well, that was another good night. Let's move on to the next. Hopefully we get something good the next time. And we get it. We went from one place to the Cabin 360. And I'm telling you, I've never experienced what I experienced on that night.
Nope, never. Never.
This place holds its name, and I will give it to it.
This house came alive. It didn't want us there. It made its presence known. It took eight people, and one by one,
it tore us apart.
You've got to know when to, as a paranormal investigator, you go into an investigative place. You have to know when to stay and when it's safe to go.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be honest, I made that decision. And I fought hard because people wanted, well, no, let's just go out and get a pizza. No. We are gone. Get your stuff. Pack our equipment. We are leaving. I didn't even care if Dennis said he'd come and bless the house. We are gone. I didn't want no part of it. I knew what I saw, and what I saw with my own two eyes made me not want to go back in there right then and there.
Even packing up. Even.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was watching, me and you.
Oh, yeah.
You were sitting down. Me, I was packing up.
Yeah.
One minute I was packing stuff off, and whoop, I was wandering off in the house.
Yeah.
My wife found me in the bathroom.
Yeah, he couldn't even pack up the equipment. I had to get the team in there to start packing it up. Because he would be in one spot, and then I'd turn, and he'd be gone.
Yeah, I ended up back upstairs.
He'd be either back upstairs, he'd be in the bathroom, he'd be in the you know, outside by the truck, and it's like, no. And I'm like,
and
you know
no
what?
I make you were in these different places. You would just end up in these places, just wander for no apparent reason.
Yeah, I mean, like
I went upstairs. There was no lights on upstairs, and my wife came upstairs, and she called me. She said, I turned and looked at her, and I says, what? She goes, what are you doing? I says, I came up here to look for equipment. She goes, all the equipment's downstairs. We already brought it all downstairs. And then I would come back downstairs. I'd start putting more stuff away. And then 10 minutes later, I could hear, Chuck, where the heck is Eric again? I was still in the house, but I was in the house. I ended up in the kitchen. I was just staring off at the refrigerator at one moment.
Yeah.
And then the last time they found me, where the bathroom is, you can look out into the back where the porch is. I was just staring out that window, looking out the window.
Yeah.
And then after that, we got in the truck and then we left. But for the whole 25 minutes that we were packing up, maybe about 15 minutes of that, I was wandering around, just spaced out, not knowing what I was doing.
Yep.
And I was
but
the only
still
one
pissed off at everybody.
I was the only one on the team it happened to where I'd be focused on doing something, and then the next minute, I'm somewhere else, you know? And my
wife
was
pissed
like, what's going on about you? Huh?
Like when you were wandering around, were you still pissed off at everybody? Like, did you still feel mad and angry at everybody?
I was still mad. Like, my wife found me in the bathroom, and she goes, what are you doing? I says, I'm in the bathroom. What, I can't go to the bathroom? She goes, you don't need to go to the bathroom. You were just setting up equipment. And I looked at her, well, how do you know I don't have to go to the bathroom? And according to her, I stormed out of the bathroom and went back and started putting equipment away. And then the last time, because I guess I wandered off three times while we were packing up, but it was only in the house. The first time I ended up upstairs in the back room, and there was no lights on. I was just standing in the middle of the floor in the back room. And that's when my wife asked me what I was doing. And I just went downstairs without saying nothing. I just told her I was looking for equipment. And then started doing more. And then my wife found me in the bathroom a few minutes later. And then the last time, I was just staring out of the window, looking over where the porch is in the back of the house, right out into the cornfield. And that's when my wife tapped me and she says, are you ready? And I just, according to her, I turned around and looked. I says, no, I want to stay. And she goes, well, we're going home.
Yeah,
and then I turned around and looked at
something got a hold of you.
Yeah.
Something got a hold of you.
And then when I walked out the door, even then, I was still being a dick. I was still packing up the truck. I wasn't even packing it, actually. I was taking the equipment. This is no lie. I was throwing it into the truck. Like just picking it up and tossing it into the back of the truck. Not even straightening it out or anything. And this is the kicker. When we get into Maryland to take a break, I told my wife I wanted some water because this is where I turned over to drive to come back home. I opened the back of the truck and things just fell out. And I asked my wife, who the hell put this stuff in the truck like this? And everybody just looked at me and was, you just threw it in there. So while we're all taking a break and unwinding in Maryland, I repacked the truck like I always do. And I didn't break anything. It was just, as we're packing up, I'm just giving it, throwing it in there. That's what they were saying, giving it, and I would just throw it in there. Not that we had a lot of stuff, but it was just the way I was handling and doing everything and just talking to everybody.
It's not cheap equipment. Paranormal investigating, it's not cheap. You know, it's not a cheap, not a cheap hobby to have. So.
No, it's not. Very expensive hobby. There's 1 year alone in 2015, I spent $20,000 just doing events and going places. I even spent my own money to help other teams get where they needed to go so we could be there. You know, So between the last 6 years, I've maybe spent alone, between me and Chuck alone, just us alone, almost close to $100,000 of our own money out of our own pockets. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a cheap, thing to do, and you would not be purposely throwing your equipment into the back of the truck.
No,
haphazardly like that. Nobody would.
Yeah, no, that was not Eric that night.
No, we've got about $40,000 worth of equipment. We've got enough equipment to wire an asylum, you know. And we didn't even bring, mm-hmm. we only bring a quarter of what we did to come down there because we only carpooled. We brought my Suburban. That was it. And we only brought what we, because it was only a cabin and another house. So we didn't think we needed all that necessity to come with us. We brought the essential stuff that we thought we would need. Now, if we would have been going big and go home, we would have had to have bring two vehicles, one for us all to sit in, and the equipment and an equipment vehicle to bring down with us because we have so much stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's getting kind of late, and I got to get up tomorrow morning for work. So I want to thank you guys for coming on and talking with us or with me tonight and telling your story. It's a wild story, and again, I can vouch for you. You're not the only person people have seen stuff like that. I've never had anyone have the experience you had, Eric, where you end up on the road surrounded by three men in cloaks. That's a new one. I believe it, but it's just definitely, it just shows, you know, silly, something new happens out there all the time.
Ryan, do you mind if I ask you one more question before we go?
Yeah, yeah.
How many people that have been in the cabin 360 have actually seen what I saw that night?
I've seen a couple people have said they've seen a dog-like creature upstairs in what we call the black light room.
Right.
And one guy said he just felt the urge to pet it. But he never did. He said he just felt he wanted to pet it. He said he said he felt like it was his, like, you know, he wanted to keep it, like, you know, almost like, or it belonged to him, or he belonged to the dog, or something like that. One of our investigators saw the creature, and she could only see it. And I was upstairs with her, and she's the only person that could see it, and I walked over to where she said it was, and I said, "Is it human?" She said, "No," and to get a voice that said, "Fuck you," but it was a deep, like, almost guttural, like, "Fuck." I'm not even trying to mimic it, but I have it on. I actually have it on EVP, and I'll send it to you. It's something you need to listen to it on earbuds. But
like I said, exactly what I saw was about 7.5 to 8 feet tall. Looked half.
This
half
is what we
creature,
saw.
Half,
it's different than what
like
you guys
half
saw.
Yeah, goat. Yeah, like a goat face.
Yeah.
Like half. I can't even describe it. It looked half goat, half. I don't know what it was. Yeah.
I believe what you saw was the same creature that was seen in the basement of the brick house. That's been seen by a few people.
He looked at me with so much, I mean, I'm staring at him. I mean, right down there at the hallway, I'm staring at this thing. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm almost ready to pee myself. I'm like, what? And God, and I'm like, St. Michael the Archangel. And I'm like, at this point, I'm as many Hail Marys as I can, because I can't believe what I'm seeing in front of me. And I'm scared.
You see something like
and I'm
that.
Like, I'm
you,
like, what? Like,
you're not
and I'm
scared.
Running down the stairs.
Yeah. I mean, you see something like that, you mean, it'll scare anybody, you know, because you're not prepared to see. You're not prepared for that. That's not normal.
No,
you know,
that's
just
not normal.
Yeah.
I'm
going to freak anybody out.
Shaking. I'm running downstairs and I'm shaking and I'm like, but like stuttering my words. And Eric's like, calm down. I'm like, dude, I ain't fucking calming down. I'm out of here. Bye.
You did. You bolted.
And I bolted.
And I was standing in the house. I was still coherent and I was still me.
Yeah.
I'm just standing in the house and I'm looking at the girls. What the hell just happened?
And that's not me, because all night I was fighting him. I said, I'm sleeping down in that basement. I'm sleeping down in that basement tonight. And Eric's like, no, you're not. I'm like, you can't tell me what to do. I'm like, I'm sleeping down there. And that's when we first got there. I mean, I was dead set on sleeping down in the basement. Yeah? No, I don't think so.
Nope.
Yeah,
I would suggest that.
Yeah. Ryan, it was a pleasure to share our story with you. We will come back out to the Cabin 360 sometime next year. We don't have a date when we want to come back out yet.
It would be a pleasure if we knew if you would be willing to, you know, at least be able to meet you when we go out there.
I'll definitely be there next time you guys come out. Don't worry about that. I'll be there unless I'm out of town for some reason.
Yeah,
I will be there.
It was definitely a pleasure. I thank you so much.
I will have to come have you back on the show sometime, talk about some of your other investigations at other locations. We'll talk about some of your other projects that you've been working on, too.
Absolutely.
But again,
that would be an honor.
Thank you so much for coming on and speaking with me tonight, spending a couple hours or an hour and a half with me and just telling your story. I thought it was very important for people to hear the story. And it's not just for the cabin. It's for people to understand that this can happen anywhere.
No, we love sharing.
You know?
We love sharing what we do, because we even have our own, you know, Charles and Eric's reality talk show. And we were on tonight on our own little thing, just yapping away. And we tell people our stories. We love to do this stuff. It's live. It's real. Nothing scripted. It's all uncut. We just sit right there and tell what we've seen and how our heart feels about what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it'd be our honor to come back on. Just let us know when you would like us to come back on, and we'll set it up, and we'll tell you some more of our scary and interesting adventures.
Perfect. Well, I'll keep up with you guys, and I'll we're friends on Facebook, so we'll keep up with each other and keep up with your stuff, and you can. And we'll talk soon, okay?
Definitely an honor, Ryan. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us on the show tonight, and hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, brothers. You guys have a good night.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Ryan.
Well, guys, that was a very interesting show. You know, I personally believe what they're saying, because I've had people experience the same things. I don't think they have any reason to lie. And some of the stuff, you know, I don't think they'd make any of that stuff up. They have no reason to. There's no benefit from them lying that I can think of. So, you know, do with it what you will. If you don't believe it, that's fine. I'm not telling you to believe it. You know, you can make it up your mind. But, definitely, if you're going to come out to the cabin, just be careful. And just be prepared. That's basically it. Hope you guys have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.